Welcome to Yes Have Some Podcast. Man, this is an episode I feel like I've been anticipating and waiting for years.
Do I?
Yes, have some.
Yes, have some.
Anytime you have this build up to a new movie, a big release, something you're looking forward to, something you're excited about, the anticipation is crazy. The trailers, the previews, the commercials, the magazine articles, the toys, everything. But when it comes to Ghostbusters, obviously, it's in a completely different stratosphere. This has been a crazy year for YHS. We're in the middle of Firehouse Fridays. Today, Abby goes, how many more of those do we have left? I was like, I don't know, like 10?
We've only done two.
I was marking them on the calendar because I like to look forward to something like that every Friday.
Well, listen.
I just got done watching Adam Savage's video from this week right before we hopped on.
Yeah.
And I almost didn't put it on at first because I was like, oh, cool. This is going to be something similar to one of ours. And it's not at all. You know, it's like a completely different thing, but it's great.
So. Adam Savage is killing it. We're killing it, dare I say. But listen, there's plenty of time to talk about that. Let me introduce my co-hosts. Let's get into this first reaction podcast, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Abigail, how are you?
Oh, wow. I think I finally come down from that trip. It was really incredible, and I'm still like mentally like escaping back to moments that we had. I am grateful to be here and to be podcasting, and I'm really grateful to have a new Ghostbusters movie to dive into and to break down and to celebrate as a community and just as three friends who have just wanted more Ghostbusters always.
It's all I've ever wanted. And now we're getting it. And I want, and of course, like any kid on Christmas morning, I'm like, any more presents behind the tree? Anything else back there?
Yeah, a little stinger scene.
Jacob Walsh, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's almost as if like somebody was like, in 2016, you know, we showed up to everything and we showed up for Ghostbusters, and maybe we were, you know, loud and every week we're streaming and live streaming, and maybe these movies happen because someone was like, we're not going to shut these guys up until we make another movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the problem, is that it's a circle. It's like you make it and it enables, and then you got to make another one. So
gotta keep going.
Well, listen, hopefully there's more.
So let me set the stage here for those watching, because the movie, if you're watching this right when we drop this, actually does not release to everybody until tomorrow, but lots of people are seeing it. There's been press screenings, previous screenings.
Yeah, the real fans have seen it.
Plenty of real fans haven't seen it yet.
I'm kidding.
But I like
that. Don't edit that out.
I'm not. I mean, I have no time to edit these days because we got to do Toy Anxiety.
Y'all are getting my full start, everything.
But what I'm saying is that if you haven't seen the movie yet, you might not want to watch the next 30, 35 minutes, because we are going to get into some spoiler territory. We're going to give our opinions, our thoughts, our review. We're not going to do the deep, deep breaking down every scene beat by beat. That's next week and beyond, right? Yeah. But this is going to be more of our general first reactions. We all saw it at the world premiere. We've all seen it one time, obviously. By the time, you know, 2 weeks from now rolls around, we'll have all seen it three or four times. And your opinions do change and vary through each viewing, each screening. Obviously, seeing it at the premiere is such an overwhelming experience that there's going to be things that you guys talk about tonight that I completely forgot. There's going to be things that I mentioned that, Jake, you forgot. So, but yeah, that's it. That's what we're going to do. It's going to be, I'm just super excited to talk about it.
I'm really excited to figure out a couple weeks from now what is going to be the Frozen Empire version of Craig not realizing there was traps in the ground. And
Yes.
Oh yeah. Something
like,
gonna
where's the, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, wait a minute. That lady in the armor at the beginning of the movie was Kumail's grandmother? Are you kidding me?
Whoa, spoiler.
Yeah, we're getting into it, guys. That's true.
Grandma talk, yeah.
Why don't we round table it and just give our general first reactions? Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, written by Gil Kenan and Jason Reitman, directed by Gil Kenan, produced by our good friend Eric Reich and Erica Ann Mills, and an incredible amount of people work on these movies. And they all deserve credit. Jacob, I'll go to you first.
Okay.
First reactions. Where are we on Frozen Empire? Here we go.
First reactions was that it was very, very fun to watch. And, you know, just like you said, it's hard not to have fun in a theater where Bill Murray's also in the theater and Logan Kim is right behind you. Logan Kim is very, very funny in this movie. And I mean, he's funny in Afterlife, but this is a movie full of funny people. And Logan Kim might be the funniest person in a movie that also has Bill Murray in it for more than one scene. Mm-hmm. I really like the movie overall. Like the big thing in the community is to say like, oh, it feels like real or it looks like real Ghostbusters. And it does. It feels like an episode of real Ghostbusters. And it, like, I got done watching it and I was like, man, I can't wait till next week's episode. You know, really feels like kind of an episodic. There's really like batshit crazy things happening in this movie that don't normally, or that we haven't seen in a Ghostbusters movie. Mm-hmm. It's just fun. Like, fun is the,
that's the word.
It's just, that's the word for me. Like, not to get too long winded about it, but like Afterlife, I think Afterlife is like a perfect movie and I really loved it. And it really, like Abby, what you were saying at the beginning about the closure and everything, like Afterlife does that. And I have never been able to watch Afterlife and not cry.
Sure.
And feel sad and happy all of this. Like, there's a lot of emotions that come with Afterlife.
Yeah. It's very cathartic.
This movie, I cried a couple times, but it was a different kind of cry. Like, this movie felt like it was like, all right, we just had a big release, a big emotional release, and everything's kind of, back to some sort of normalcy. Mm-hmm. Let's just have a fucking fun Ghostbusters. Let's have a blast. Movie
and in that way,
there's shit happening all the time.
Right.
Yeah. I was just going to comment and say, in that way, it reminds me and is reminiscent of Ghostbusters too. Like, we kind of, like, the first one was incredibly important and groundbreaking. And
right
now we have a sequel that's just for fun is what it feels like. And that's what I was going to say more than anything. I am a fan of the real Ghostbusters cartoon and animated stuff in general. And this movie just, the roller coaster takes you right up to and then drops you down immediately. And then you're spinning and swirling.
Yeah.
Which I think is fantastic for anyone who thought that the pacing of Afterlife might be too slow for them, or those who wanted to see more ghosts being busted, or the team assembling. Like, you see all that. Like, there's so much good stuff to dig through. And there's so many scenes that I'm anticipating going back to.
Right.
Because I know I was laughing. It was almost like a nonstop laugh for probably the first like 20 minutes straight. I feel like the audience was just like, my face hurt.
Lots of laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I've seen people say like, oh, there's all these lines that are in the trailers that aren't in the movie. I'm fine with that because I don't
things
want...
get cut, guys.
Well, that I like going in not knowing every punchline to every joke, you know.
Well, that's why they do. That's why they do that kind
that
of
is
stuff.
Why they do that.
That's partly why, and also when you have people like, you know, Bill and Kumail and all these actors, there's probably just multiple takes with different pun. You know, it's all that's just how it works. But I do want to say, like, even though we both talk about like how fun and not as heavy of a movie, like there is like an emotional aspect. And, like,
sure,
you know, you do have like two plot lines happening that are like, you know, you still got the family dynamic and Phoebe going through multiple things at once, but it's a different emotion than dealing with like death of a loved one or
grief.
Yeah.
There's two core plot lines that were really not revealed in any of the marketing. So let's maybe tackle those a little bit more.
Okay.
As we go. I do want to say that one thing I love about Afterlife is all of the new characters that they introduced. I genuinely liked. There's like, I genuinely love Phoebe and Gruberson and Callie and Lucky and Podcast and Trevor. I like all these characters. Completely agree about Logan Kim's reprisal of Podcast. Mm-hmm. If you guys thought Logan Kim was going to age 3 or 4 years and become a humorless, cynical teenager,
He's funnier now.
So funny. Yeah. His timing is like impeccable.
Older, wiser, and like, yeah, his timing is incredible. I was psyched to, I would have walked out of that theater just talking to you two and saying Logan stole the show, but he was sitting behind us when the movie ended. So that was really nice, like full circle immediate. Like,
in
way
fact,
to go, dude.
From now on, I'm going to require the cast of the movie I'm watching to be sitting behind me so I can either compliment them or shame them.
Absolutely.
I mean, when it was over, I turned around and I looked at Logan. I was like, what the fuck, dude? I was like, why? I was like, who do you think you are just stealing Ghostbusters? Like, what the fuck?
Right.
You start doing a little competition. Like, you know, I've got some good one-liners, too.
We taught you everything you know, and here you are.
Yeah.
We always take credit. So, yeah. Love seeing, you know, everybody knows the core points of the story. They're back in New York. The you know, Callie and Gary and Trevor and Phoebe are kind of your core Ghostbusters team. And then you've got Winston financing everything. Yeah. By the way, as I explained,
kind of wrangling everyone.
Think about how not real any of this sounds.
It's so you're making. Yeah, this. So John Yerkaba made this entire plot up in a dream.
Winston has financed the Paranormal Research Center, which is where they have another team of ghost-busting engineers and scientists who are, there's a parabotanist, which is basically like if Ellie Sattler was a Ghostbuster.
You put these plants here because you think they look good.
No, I put them here because they're alive. That would have been a good place to have a little, like a Tui in there. But anyways, Lars, okay? James A. Castor, new character. Very dry, very funny. Kind of channels a little bit of a Harold Ramis, Egon Spengler type of character.
Yeah, it's the depth that I feel like balances out that the between all of them, I feel like that's just something, a little ingredient that we didn't know we needed. But right. Yeah.
Lucky's there as an intern for the summer. And then there's other people kind of in the background. And then, of course, Dan Aykroyd. Let's talk about Dan. Maybe this is a good way to do it. Just focus on the characters for a little bit. Jacob, Dan Aykroyd has the one scene in Afterlife in the middle of the movie where Phoebe calls him, and then he shows up at the end. He doesn't act a lot these days. And I really thought he was really, really good in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think I told you this. I think Ray is my favorite part of this movie because he's in it a lot. He's in it more than the other OGs for sure.
Yep.
But he's great. Like, they give him so many of those like rambling, you know, things that Ray does.
Scientific
in the other
dissertation.
Yeah, the scientific opportunities. Bullshit is like, and he's just as good at it now as he was back then. He's funny. There's some really great scenes with Ray in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there really is. Jacob, I agree. Ray is definitely in it more than Winston and Peter. And it's, you know, going into it, based on some of the interviews, I was thinking like, oh, is it going to be really sad? Is he really down on his luck? Is he upset that he's not a Ghostbuster anymore? And it's not really that.
No.
He does want to be involved, and he's not letting his age slow him down, but he doesn't have the, you know, the legs in the back of a younger man. So that leads to some tension between him and Winston, which there is a scene where Winston and Ray get into this heated argument. And listen, we've only seen them in a heated argument once. They were covered in slime. I'll put your lights out, man. And you know what? It might be my favorite. Like, unironically, after the movie, I told Gil, I was like, hey, that was my favorite scene in the movie. Like, I don't think I'm giving anything away, or he said mine too. So, because it's this really, it's not funny. It's not played for laughs in any way, but you're on, it's 2024 and you're looking at 80-year-old Winston Zeddemore having a screaming match with 75-year-old Ray Stantz in the middle of this batshit nuts fun movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is for me.
Yeah.
This is for me. So yeah, and Jacob, there's a very specific scenes with Rey. Yeah. The whole library scene's really fun. There's a line, Abby, where Phoebe is going through some of the stuff she's going through, and she says, "Dr. Rey, if you ever wonder what it was like to be a ghost," and he's, "Every single day of my life."
Right. Like, and you know, he could have gone on about that too.
It was really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually really liked that kind of like pairing that happens between Dan and the kids, because, you know, like we're saying, he's, you know, getting older and maybe can't get the information as fast. So he kind of pairs up with them, and then they meet Patton at the library, and all that stuff like is what I can't wait to go back and put those pieces together. I really enjoyed like the way that Garaka's story was told, the way that it unfolded, the fact that Patton was the one telling it, because he's just really gifted at being in that place, like being a nerdy fan.
Dr. Hubert Wartsky.
Yep.
Is the name of Patton Oswalt's character.
Mm-hmm. Very strong character. He might have blown past us a little bit on the red carpet, but I understand. He had to go do the announcement. He was doing like the welcome everybody to the show. The thing
two hours later.
Hey guys, he had to prep for that. Do you have hours of prep for that? Yeah. So I loved having the kids pair up with Dan. I loved the fight that took place between them and the lions at the library. New York Public Library stuff was like, I'm giddy to go back and see some of that. Cause like I was sitting on the front row, which I'm very grateful for, but there was a couple of sequences that I feel like I maybe want to go back to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do agree with everybody here stating that, you know, listen, Ghostbusters is a, because we're such diehard fans, it's always, there's always an emotional through line for us. Mm-hmm. Like, I get choked up watching Ghostbusters 2. That's not the reaction they're going for. And it's only because I'm 40 and thinking about how much I loved it when I saw it when I was 5. Right.
Yeah.
So this movie definitely fits in. It's kind of hard to bucket it because I would say it's more in line. Like Ghostbusters, the original is just its own amazing lightning in a bottle, best movie ever. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters 2 is a really fun, sometimes silly, sometimes incredible, but extremely nostalgic sequel to that. Afterlife is seems like fan fiction.
This movie feels like a mix of those, of the first three.
I would agree
because it does have, you know, the stuff with Phoebe not getting along with her family, getting you know, kicked out of the Ghostbusters, becoming friends with a ghost, getting you know, screwed. Like there's emotional stuff with Phoebe that feels more in line with Afterlife. But then there's a scene of Rey on a motorcycle with Phoebe in the sidecar and podcast sitting behind him, and a fucking proton wand pops out of the, and I'm like, this feels like a cartoon from 1991.
Right. You know?
Mm-hmm. Like there is so much stuff like that. And like the opening scene with the family bickering, while driving the Ecto, it's all really funny and very silly.
I mean, this line's been in the I didn't watch the sewer dragon scene when they released it, so it was new to me in the theater when she says, like, "I'm gonna bust this ghost." I have a ghost to bust. And Paul Rudd goes, "That was cool.
That was cool.
And then Callie gets mad at him, and he goes, it was just cool when she said it. Like,
Phoebe has a line where she's, you know, her mom, Callie, is like, don't go out of this car. And she does that, and she goes out.
Yeah.
And then Callie says, like, I don't know, like, get back in here or something. You know, she's on the gunner seat. And Phoebe's like, "I can't hear you over the sound of the the positron collider."
It's really funny. So, before we get too long-winded here, we got to touch on Kumail's storyline. We got to talk about. Well, let's talk about Phoebe real quick.
Sure. Yeah, because it's the family's continuing on with their like drama from Afterlife, and there's a little tension between Phoebe and her mom, Callie. And then there's the question of like, what is Paul Rudd's role as Mr. Gruberson, or is he dad? Like, what kind of a position can he punish? Can he discipline? Yes. I found that stuff to be hilarious. I also found the stuff with Paul Rudd stepping up, being the dad who stepped up in this movie, being the most emotional for me, and the stuff that I connected to and the stuff that made me cry. But yeah, so I was really glad to have that like right at the forefront. We're back with the family. We're riding in the Ektos. Shit's going crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So Phoebe's storyline has to do with her basically being not allowed to be a Ghostbuster anymore. Very similar to something that would happen to like Slimer in the real Ghostbusters. Like, come on, bud, you got to stay back.
You gotta be just told to bust ghosts.
Yeah. And
I mean, there's literally an episode.
No. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Walter Peck is now the mayor of New York. You mm-hmm. know what? I thought William Atherton, he's not in a lot, but I thought he was great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I like that they didn't go out of their way to be like, that's Walter Peck. He's a long-term rival of the Ghostbusters. It's like, if you know, you're good. If you mm-hmm. don't, he's just the asshole mayor. Like, right. It's fine.
He plays that well.
And so she kind of gets sidelined because she's underage. And this kind of goes back to some of the original character development of Phoebe in the first movie, where she has trouble making friends. She's a loner. She just loves science. She just wants to be a Ghostbuster. The thing that she loves the most has been taken away from her. That's a very relatable plot line for a teenager, mm-hmm. right? We've all been mm-hmm. a teenager where your mom's like taken away your thing. I mean, it wasn't my ghostbusting career.
Well,
I couldn't see the Foo Fighters.
I mean, there was a time where I wasn't allowed to buy CDs with parental advisories on them. So
yeah, that was always for me.
That was your Phoebe
like,
moment?
Everything I listened to. Like,
you just tape it on the radio.
I guess you could take my Korn CDs.
Let's do an online.
I couldn't have Poison Pogs.
Let's do a social media movement. Like, what was your teenage Phoebe moment? What did your parents take away from you that made you consider unaliving yourself? I mean, we got to talk about it.
Week long series.
Yeah.
Abby starts a new podcast.
Yeah, I love that.
You know what the thing they took away from me? Oh, childhood.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Phoebe befriends a ghost mm-hmm. named Melody, played by
she's
Emily.
She's feeling lonely. She went to the park. Mm-hmm. You know, she's Emily wants connection.
Emily Aylin Lynn. There's been nothing revealed about her character leading up to this movie. Phoebe befriends her. And Abby, this is something you've been kind of looking forward to. So I kind of want to hear your
thoughts
on
that. I have been looking forward to this because we were lucky enough to be on whatever street in Atlanta that was, watching that scene get filmed between or one of the major scenes between between Phoebe and Melody.
Yeah.
They're meet cute, so to speak, when they're playing chess together. I like that Phoebe's playing chess again because that's consistent with her character. That's just sort of the way that she taps into ghosts. And with this movie, there was a distinct difference to like how the ghost appears, the apparition, and also like the ability to speak back and forth was that was something new that I felt was refreshing. I was happy to see Emily Lynn showing up as like a smoking blue, like, you know, phantasm, in the park. I felt like, she has that magnetism about her, that just, I guess, kind of like make you understand, you believe why McKenna is, why Phoebe's like taking interest in sort of flirting and sort of, just getting along with this character, sort of mm-hmm. feeling like someone understands her for the first time in a while. And that is definitely stuff that I was like, I was excited to see like their relationship on screen, sort of exploring. Right.
Melody befriends Phoebe throughout the movie. It's kind of revealed what her motivations are, mm-hmm. kind of a complex thing where basically she is, for lack of a better term, and maybe this isn't the right one, but she's almost like in a purgatory type state where she's not able, you know, at the end of Afterlife, again, none of this sounds real. At the end of the last Ghostbusters movie, when Egon Spengler finally connects with his family and it releases all of his particles into the universe, mm-hmm. Melody's family died in a fire, an accident at her restaurant 100 years ago. Melody has not been able to pass to the other side. Mm-hmm. She's trying to figure out a loophole to do that. So, mm-hmm. And Phoebe becomes part of that plan. Now, Jacob, the one thing everyone's going to be talking about is the nature of their relationship. I don't think it's that important right now to dig deep into that, but
they're best friends.
They're best friends.
That's it.
And sometimes Sometimes best friends.
Sometimes best friends talk each other into getting in the ionic separator. Pulling their soul out of their body.
Dude, that scene, spoiler alert, when they keep cutting back to Phoebe's dead body.
Yeah.
It is really fucked up. I mean, it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
The thing about
Melody to me is that it just opens up, you know, a floodgate of questions about how ghosts work. Mm-hmm. And if Melody can retain her memories and her thoughts and speak just like a normal human being, then surely the jogging ghost could as well. Which means Ray is a piece of shit.
Yeah, dude. Why not stop and have a conversation with that ghost?
Like, it's such a weird, like, clearly there are no rules among ghosts and Ghostbusters. And that is not a bad thing at all. It's just so funny when you think about, like, we're busting all these ghosts. They're causing, they look like monsters. Slimer's like kind of cool, you know. Then there's Stay Puft, and then there's Gozer, there's Garaka, and now it's just like Force Ghosts is a thing as well. Like,
yeah,
and it all can exist in one. It doesn't matter. Like it doesn't have.
It's
to
someone
sense,
out there's going to write us an email to explain the different classifications.
Oh well,
complications with how you die and everything. Then in your passing, then that will change the type of ghost you are. That's what I assume.
And also. Well, I think there's multiple things. There's people who were bad who become bad ghosts, but also I think a lot of ghosts are supposed to just be like manifestations of an evil. They're not like, you know, I don't think, you know, the giant ghost under the arches in Ghostbusters 2 started off as a human. You know what I mean?
Right.
Also, unless the person who sends us the letter trying to explain is Gil Cannon or Jason Reitman, then I don't want to read it.
Slimer is a class 5 entity, mid-level specter that takes on a non-humanoid form, most well known as Witch Slime. Oh, God, we're getting nerdy. Come on, guys.
Yeah, we don't have to do that. Let's talk about
people like it.
Well, hold on. We're 30 minutes in. I think we gotta talk about this firebending shit.
So let's talk about Kumail Nanjiani, new member of the cast. Very, very good in this movie. Very funny. He plays a character named Nadim Rezmadi. He is a descendant. His grandmother was. He's got a lineage of firebending in his Pakistani heritage.
Yeah.
And basically in his grandmother's apartment, who's passed away, she has this secret room that has all of these extremely ornate, mysterious, mystical,
ancient, archaic,
ancient, and possessed in some way, artifacts.
Yeah.
And he takes a couple of them to raise a call.
And it should be mentioned that, he's kind of down and out on his luck, much like our Ghostbusters in the very first movie are. It's like, I'm going to make a book, something very relatable for all of us.
But yeah, Jacob, we've been really excited about this. So give me some thoughts, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've known about some of this stuff for so long, and it's almost annoying. Just like, I've been excited for the community to see specifically this plot line, I don't know, for like 8 or 9 months. I don't even know I can say that. But sorry.
No, it's fine. I don't at this point. I think
at this point it doesn't matter. They know we were there. This was the thing when we found out this was in the movie, I was just like, this was the one thing that I was like, what the fuck is this? And you know, it is a natural. You know, Ghostbusters 2 has Viggo, who is started as a human, kind of was a magician, had powers. And that's something that I guess was never really taken advantage of until this movie, where you just have a character who can control fire. And it's like, that seems crazy at first until you think about the context of the the movie and the universe you're in. Mm-hmm. And it also really, really feels like real Ghostbusters to me, because that was a thing that real Ghostbusters did all the time, was right. just like had mm-hmm. random other people helping out in the yeah. bus. Sure. So to bring in this character whose lineage is basically ghostbusting, but in a different form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think is very cool. And Kumail is very funny and he's really awesome throughout the entire movie. I loved this plot line and I'm really, really glad that none of it was in any of the trailers.
Yep.
Because to me, mm-hmm. if you were to see a glimpse of this in the trailer out of context, I feel like I would be like, what are they doing? It's like seeing it in the context of the movie, it completely worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think when I imagined what this would be like and what I ended up seeing, I was afraid that the third act was just going to feel very much like, okay, they're doing the Avengers thing. And now all of these human beings somehow have the ability to like jump really high and like do like Bill Murray did a backflip or anything. And
with podcast on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all comes down to some small, unimpressive thing that
yeah, like the four,
Ghostbusters have figured out how to do.
The four OG. Yeah. Hey,
they have the
here's
force.
A spoiler. The four. Yeah. Venkman, Zedmore, Stance, and Melnitz have to team up to just shut off the containment unit, just pull a lever. They're like,
it would have been funny if, like, you know, all four of them are like trying to pull the lever and you just have like Finn go back there and be like, what are you guys doing?
Right. And the whole thing with Nadim is like, it's not necessarily like it's, I can't wait to see it again. Cause I want to start see some of the visuals of how the fire is created, how he manifests yeah. it, how he controls it and all that. And this all goes back to the beginning of the film, which opens up with a flashback, which we've never seen before. And you do see his grandmother in the suit of armor at mm-hmm. the, what is it? The Manhattan
Explorers
Adventurers Society.
Adventurer Society.
Yeah.
Which is like a team of rich assholes who go on right. adventures. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, and then the firehouse is there. It's just they're adding so much lore, and that to me is the most exciting thing. Abby, what thoughts on
that? Nadim? I mean, I think yeah. that's. I mean, Nadim's amazing. The characters like absolutely love the addition to the world of Ghostbusters. To be drawing like a story from a completely different area of the world, and to like have that be really rich and like it was fantastic. It's what we needed. And when it comes to like the Garaka and just the
yeah, let's talk about Garaka, yeah, because it's directly related to let's explain that part.
It unlocks Garaka, his character,
the orb that he brings into Raise a Cult is the kind of connection to
it's unlock, a ghost trap,
it's a ghost trap yeah. essentially that will unlock Garaka if. Garaka can control, get a key. You'll see
he's
the movie.
He's got to get somebody to open it.
He's got to yeah. get somebody as a ghost to open it. That's where the whole thing with Phoebe happens. It's all yeah. very cool. But I want to talk about Garaka. First of all, I like having a connection to a character and the villain. I like that it's not just like that is another very real Ghostbusters thing. Like when Boogeyman shows up and Egon's like, I haven't seen him since I was 5 years old. And like there's like this backstory that's just there.
Yeah.
Jacob, I know you love your creatures and your creature design. What did you think of Garaka seeing him on screen?
Yeah, he's cool. You know, he's very menacing, which none of the other Ghostbuster villains have ever really been menacing. You know what no. I mean? Like no. Stay Puft is
Vigo
smiling.
Looks like a valet Slimer driver.
Vigo looks like a magician, which he is. And Gozer's hot. It's like, no, none of the villains have ever been like, you're never really scared of them. But
sure.
Garaka is scary. Mm-hmm. He looks like something out of like The Nun or something like that. I don't know. He's just crazy yeah. looking. He's got a Kindly. Like distended mouth and he's yelling a lot and he's got big horns. He's just scary looking. He looks like he's from a void of, you know, nothingness. So yeah, I thought he was cool.
He was very cool. Abby, what'd you think?
Loved the refreshing breeze that was Garaka. Yeah, when it comes to the villains, like this was, I think that Garaka felt like the most like imminent and present danger there were moments of this movie that specifically with Garaka were very scary and terrifying. Go ahead, Jacob.
I was just going to say also, he's just openly out there murdering people. Like yeah. A lot of people die in this movie. And, you know, when we talked to Jason Reitman about Afterlife, one of the things we asked him was like, hey, you killed somebody in this movie. And Ghostbusters has never really had people die in it before. Mm-hmm. And like, I know we see Egon die, but then you get, Shandor getting Shandor, like, ripped in half. But this movie from the start is just like, oh, he's dead. That person just died. That person's head is gone.
Head explosions.
Yeah. It's like these people are dead.
Right.
Yeah. That, which is, I think, what brings the horror element and like raises the stakes a little bit and makes it feel just a little bit like bigger than Afterlife.
Yeah.
And kind of puts it where it needs to be.
Let's talk about Bill Murray. Let's talk about Peter Venkman.
Is he in this?
Not only is he in this, remember after Afterlife where like people were like, well, you know, he showed up, did his thing. We'll never see Peter Venkman on screen again. And then it's like, now he's back and he's in it a lot more. And
yeah,
he's throwing water on everybody.
Yeah. Sorry. This might be good. Bill Murray as Peter Venkman is my all time favorite character. And I listen, when Jason Reitman said he's always suspect of people when they say their favorite Ghostbusters Venkman, I was just like, yeah, weirdos. And in my head, I'm like, I love Peter Venkman. Because he's everything I want to be. I wish I had his charisma. We were watching some deleted scenes from Ghostbusters 1 last night on YouTube. And there's a funny scene before they go in to meet with Dean Yeager. Egon and Ray are going, we might get a Nobel Prize. And Peter goes, if anybody deserves a Nobel Prize, it's me. And they're like, you didn't do anything. We built everything. We put all the money in. He goes, but I introduced you. That's got to be worth something. Anyways, Venkman's got one really good scene with Nadim earlier in the movie. It's a classic ghost. You know, we don't have to spoil it here, but it's a classic Ghostbusters scene. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. And they have a good back and forth.
It literally feels like the opening to Ghostbusters 1.
It is. It's
like it's the same. And it's that kind of Peter Venkman like conducting a test, but also being a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
fun.
Yeah. It's such a good scene.
And then all of his stuff with Ray and Winston and everything, you know, he's got a lot of great one-liners. He's funny. He's full of charisma. And he takes it over the finish line for me. I thought he was great.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I was happy to see him on screen. I was really happy to see Annie Potts and see her doing a lot in this movie. I'm really excited to go back and watch the finale so that I can see some more of the action.
Yeah. So I can just take it all in.
Yeah.
I think one of the hardest things to do in a movie like this is balance out so many characters. And I think, the movie moves very briskly. It's briskly?
It does, yeah.
Briskly.
K.
Yeah. That's brisk, baby. Iced tea, remember those? Anyway. Iced tea. He was at the premiere.
Sylvester Stallone thing?
Yeah, it was.
It was a Rocky
The Claymation tie-in? Commercial.
Yeah.
Anyways. Lipton iced tea.
I remember loving brisk.
There you go.
Hey, I did think... I think one of the complaints that I saw for Afterlife had to deal with both Trevor and Lucky kind of not having as much to do and just kind of feeling some people just thought they were just there. And I think both of those characters feel so much more involved in this movie. Yeah. And it feels like in the... Whatever the time frame is between Afterlife and this movie feels like Trevor and Lucky separately from each other both have become just like invested in the Ghostbusters because Trevor is like he's wanting to drive the car, he's having fun going out on busts, he's trying to catch Slimer on his own.
He's an adult.
And then Lucky's like working in the, you know, research facility. She's like very capable with the proton pack later in the movie. And like, they just, both of those characters just feel like they have much more to do and are just much more involved in the story this time.
Yeah. And I think the Trevor and Slimer stuff is all really fun. I mean, a lot of it, you know, you see a lot of it in the trailers, but listen, Slimer's great. All the ghosts, Slimer and Pukey and Sewer Dragon, you know, they're all having a great time. It's a Ghostbusters movie, man. It's just nothing but fun. I will be very interested to see what I have a feeling fans and the public are going to like this movie. I will be interested to see how what the critical response is, because critics can be overly cynical when it comes to franchises in general, but just specifically with Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it can be hard on Ghostbusters.
There's a cynicism, and it all goes back to 2016.
I was talking about those trials and tribulations at the beginning.
It's like, can we just move on and have fun? Like, does everything need to be like, I don't know. I just want to have fun. But anyways, well, listen, I think this is some good initial thoughts. Let's roundtable it. Anything else you wanted to touch on, Abigail?
Let's see. Other than the fact that Gary Gruberson made me cry, I really, really enjoyed the bit between him and Phoebe about family and like you don't get to choose who your family is. Sometimes it's just like,
well, listen, I don't think she was there for that conversation.
She wasn't listening. It's a very funny bit. I was the one listening to that moment.
Good talk.
She's
not even there.
Yeah. Which I love having like a sweet, serious type of moment and like a really goofy laugh like that, which is fantastic. I think this movie was punctuated and peppered with really good laughs, like really well written jokes, and really fun action, really great new characters, mesmerizing ghosts, and it's overall just a blast. And I think that's what Ghostbusters needed, and I think that we're going to see families and people in the community embracing this movie, and that just makes me feel good.
Absolutely. Jacob?
No, I agree with Abby. I think everybody's gonna have fun with it. I had a lot of fun with it, and I do want to, you know, like you said, we saw this in like a crazy whirlwind, like the most insane way you can see Ghostbusters for the first time is what we did. Like, hey, let's talk to the entire cast and then sit you right down in the middle of them and then show you the movie from the front row of a giant theater. Like, it's all crazy. It was really fun. But, you know, the next couple of weeks, we're going to, like, watch this movie multiple times. I think I might go see it at a drive-in next week, maybe. It's playing at a drive-in not far from here. So
cool.
That sounds fun.
I'm excited to give it those like rewatches and then be able to like dig into things, you know, like just fucking nitpick it and like gush over the things I really loved. And it's just going to be fun. I'm glad that we now have new things to talk about.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It reloads us a little bit.
I'm excited.
Okay. I got a quick rapid fire. We'll be done. Abigail. Mm-hmm. MVP of the movie. What character?
Logan. Podcast.
Yeah. MVP. Mm-hmm. I'm going to vote for Ray Stantz. Jacob Walsh.
I got to pick Ray. Logan's number two, though.
There you go. Nice. Want to do a couple more of these? Abigail, favorite standout scene after first viewing?
I really liked Phoebe and Melody's meeting. I thought that was really sparkly and memorable and relatable. And it captured something special that I like to see on screen. So, okay. Yeah, there you go.
I said it earlier. My favorite scene in the movie is Ray and Winston arguing. Mm-hmm. I did like when Podcast and Phoebe go out to the diner and Phoebe pulls her, you know, she pulls her shot. And Podcast is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Jacob, did you have a favorite
scene? Yeah, there's I'm going to just do two really quick. There's a scene where you know, Phoebe and Podcast are trying to get Ray to go to the library or whatever. And he's like, nope, let the parents do that. This is not my job anymore. You kids can't go. And Phoebe said, I don't even remember what she says. And she's like, but don't you want to, or something like, and there's like this slow zoom on Ray's face as he gets like the biggest smile he's ever gotten, and then it just cuts to them on the fucking motorcycle.
Yeah.
And it's like, I really love that. And then there's another scene with Ray where he's in Ray's occult, and the family drives by Ray's occult in the Ecto, and he looks up and sees it, and he has kind of like, you can tell he's sad he's not there, but he also smiles that the Ghostbusters are still, and it's just like, I was just like,
two more quick things.
Oh, I just remembered another favorite moment.
Go for it. No, yeah.
Well, when there's a moment where the possessor ghost takes over the Ecto, and I gave Jacob a big hearty punch because I was like, Christine, fucking yes, possessed car. So that was awesome.
Love that.
Nadim in the armor sliding down the fire pole.
Yes.
It's not your classic Ghostbusters humor, but it's silly and it's very funny. And I'm happy with that.
I agree.
And then there was a cameo from John Rothman, who is the guy at the works at the library from the first movie.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Yeah.
And he shows up and tells Ray Stantz, "No, you're banned from the library." it was a fun little moment.
Yeah,
so,
it was good.
Banned from the library.
Guys, this was a lot of fun. We're gonna have so much more on this movie. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for tuning in to all of our content as of late. The live stream from the red carpet, our day at the firehouse, all of the podcasts. Friday, Firehouse Fridays. I almost called it Friday Night Firehouse, which is, maybe that's a new series we're going to have.
Friday Night Fight Lights.
Firehouse Fridays.
Firehouse Mondays. Someone called it that.
Which will be continuing over the next couple weeks. Lots more to be revealed from our trip to set. We still have a couple secrets in our back pocket that you will not want to miss. But please go see this movie. Please enjoy it. Have a great time at the theater. Buy yourself a Slimer popcorn bucket. And we will see you next time for more on Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. For Abigail Gardner and Jacob Walsh, my name is Craig Goldberg, saying, if you got a hidden room in your apartment and it's full of ancient memorabilia,
go in there.
Don't sell it to Ray Stantz.
Sell it to us.
Yeah, we'll buy it. And also,
put it on eBay.
Podcast and his hammer. So funny. All right,
one divine hammer.
Bye, everybody.
Do I?
Yes, have some.
Yes, have some.